Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery.
Hi, everyone. Today, I am thrilled to invite back for the second time in one season, my very lovely friend and mentor, David Protrusich. I received such lovely feedback from you all about David's episode on psychic development. So if you haven't listened to that episode with David yet, definitely go and check that one out. But as well as a practitioner in the psychic arts, David is also an astrologer, and specifically a sidereal astrologer. Now, it's interesting because like any divination system, it can come in different forms. So where most people have heard of mainstream or pop culture astrology as a specific way to read their birth charts, lately I've been hearing more and more about sidereal popping up. So it made so much sense to bring David back onto the podcast to speak more about it with me today. So astrology is not my strongest suit, and you're going to hear from David in a moment, who will definitely explain much more eloquently than me the different ways you can read your astrological systems. But I did want to give you a bit of a once-over before we dive in, because essentially the tropical zodiac, which is what most of us will often refer to as our way of reading astrology and associating with as the mainstream, the way of reading tropical is entirely sun-based, and the signs are set upon the constellations on the linear path of the sun that are collectively called the zodiac and extend a few degrees above and below the ecliptic line. Whereas sidereal zodiac is based upon the position of the sun in relation to the star constellations as they actually appear now in the night sky. So today, during the episode, we discuss the two astrological systems of tropical versus sidereal and unpack how differently these work and why. I also have come to understand how the sidereal way of reading the stars has found me just like any other oracle does. And during the episode, we dive into some of my astrological chart to see how this correlates and differs as a real life example. And like any of these modalities, there is no right or wrong way of reading astrology. As long as what you're doing resonates for you, then that's perfect. So if you're a seasoned tropical astrologer through and through, I'm not here to tell you, and nor is David, that what you're doing is wrong. Absolutely not. On the contrary, we just are here to open up the conversation and bring sidereal into the forefront and have a good discussion about the two systems today. So I am so thrilled to have David back today to speak more on sidereal astrology. So let's do it. Let's begin the show. So welcome back, David.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you're coming back already for the second half of the season. So the same season of the podcast is season three. And our listeners loved listening to you so much on your episode on psychic development. So yeah, it's no surprise that it made just so much sense to ask you back today to speak about sidereal astrology. So thank you.
Yes, I didn't realize I was coming back already in the same season. Thank you for having me.
Actually, what an honor. You're the first person that this has happened to in the same season. So it is a first. So yeah, can't wait to talk to you today about sidereal astrology. But maybe for the listeners that haven't heard the episode that we talked about psychic development, I definitely recommend you can go and scroll back and find that one and listen back to it. Because in that episode, we do dive a little bit deeper into your backstory and sort of how you came into the world of spirituality. So if you're interested to hear more about that, you can go and check out the episode on psychic development with David. But there might be some people that are tuning in today to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast for the first time. So welcome if that's you. So it might be nice, David, just to give a little bit of an intro to what it is that you do and how was it that your astrology practice started in the first place?
Yeah, well, I'm an evidential psychic medium, which means that I work with the energy of the living and the energy of the deceased, those who are no longer here in the physical. And then I'm also a sidereal astrologer. I'm an esoteric teacher. I'm a bunch of things. But I always say astrology was like my first occult love. Mm-hmm. I forget if I said it like this in our first recording or not, but I came into astrology quite young. I was pretty young. I was playing The Sims in my basement. Did I share this on the last episode?
You did, but share it again. I love this story.
Yeah. I was playing The Sims in my basement in the 90s. And depending on your age or depending on your video game love or whatnot, you may or may not know that the original Sims allowed you to choose the zodiac sign, right, of the sim you created. And at the time I was 9 or 10, I had no idea what that meant. And I just started getting into it from there. So I would go into bookstores. I started reading up on astrology. You know, internet at that time was new and I was blessed to have a computer in my basement in the late 90s. So I just got into it that way and there wasn't much talk about it then. Mm-hmm. Eventually though, you know, that led me into studying witchcraft when I was pretty young. It led me into working with intuition. I was about 12 years old trying to get the other kids in the neighborhood to meditate and whatnot. And, you know, it wasn't cool back then to be into all of those things. So it became a part of me, but I stepped back from it and didn't come fully back with astrology in the way I am now until I was about in college, I would say. So yeah, 20 years I've been like a student of it, which is nuts.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love that Sims story. I think when you told me this last time, I was like, I loved The Sims. It was such a 90s thing.
It was.
And yeah, just so much fun. I used to like kill my Sims, like leave them.
You were one of those.
Yeah.
There's that tropical sun in Scorpio, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yes. I love The Sims. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, it's really interesting that you're here to talk about astrology today, because actually a lot of listeners, you know, we speak quite a lot through, you know, Instagram DMs or just people reach out with emails and things like that and share that they love to hear about astrology. And quite a few people have asked to have a episode about sidereal because it is building up quite some traction. And I know on social media, you post some quite disruptive content that can actually get people quite riled up. I always love it when you post something on sidereal because people are like, what are you talking about? Like the moon is in this sign or whatever. So maybe before we get a little deeper, because I'm also completely new, we just had a bit of a chat last week during one of our one-on-one sessions. I'm doing some mentoring with David and he read a little bit of my sidereal chart. But yeah, I'm definitely not an expert. And this is why you're also here to share more. So maybe we can start from sort of the basics, really, like what is sidereal and how does it differ to what you would say is tropical astrology?
Yes. So tropical astrology, if you're in the Western world, if you're alive looking at your chart right now, you are probably 99% of the time working with tropical astrology. So tropical astrology doesn't mean that it's somewhere by the equator and it's warm and we're sipping out of coconuts. It's a term about the measurement, the degree of measurement that you're working with astrologically. So most of Western modern astrology is tropical astrology. And what that means is that it works with the tropical zodiac of 12 zodiac signs that are derived from the 13 constellations that are on the ecliptic. Now, when we get into all of this, this lingo, sometimes imagery really helps people. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening around and if you have, you know, a search browser available to you, maybe just look up what is the ecliptic and look up at an image of what I mean. The ecliptic is the path of the sun. Right. So if we were to look out into the night sky or the morning sky from Earth, The ecliptic is what we would see the sun follow, and it's also what we would see all of the planetary bodies be really closely aligned with, right? So when you look out into the sky and you see the sun is in a certain section of the sky, if it's nighttime and you can see the constellations, that's where you see the sun is in Taurus, the sun is in Scorpius, right, etc. So it's those constellations on that path of the sun, the ecliptic, there's 13 of them, that the 12 zodiacal signs are derived from, right? And the tropical zodiac is not referencing the night sky. It is not referencing the stars. It's not actually referencing true positioning of space, right? I like to call tropical astrology the simulation of space, because you're working with these signs, and what tropical astrology does beautifully is it associates all of the signs to the seasons, right? So some of our viewers probably already know this, right? And when I say that, in tropical astrology, we say that the first day of Aries is always on the vernal equinox, which is March 20th, March 21st. Now, that would say that when we look up, we would see the sun in the constellation of Aries. But today in 2023, if you take an astronomy app and you look up when most of Western astrology, all of Western mainstream astrology is saying it's Aries season, I want you to take an astronomy app and look where the sun is. You're going to find it in Pisces.
That's crazy. Right?
Or similarly, when we see the full moon is in Cancer, which is what our tropical full moon at the top of the year was, right? Our first full moon of the year. If you take an astronomy app and you look up at the night sky, you would see that that full moon was actually sitting in the constellation of Gemini, the twins. And that is sidereal astrology. So sidereal astrology is when you're working with the true positioning of the planets, right? And where everything is right now, and you're working with the constellations. That's the shortest way I can explain the difference of the two. And I know we'll get into it deeper.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really great explanation. And I find I have so many questions because when I saw your post on social media about sidereal, I think actually you're one of the only people that I've seen post more about it than other astrologers that I follow who are sort of more the tropical side. But I guess one of the main questions that's been bugging me around, you know, the two is why, because for me, it makes a lot of sense. Like when you're explaining it, that you would look up to the sky and read the sky as it is. Why do we not do that? Like, why is tropical like still like, maybe that's a little bit controversial, and apologies, I'm not an astrologer to anyone listening who's like super into it. Maybe this is a silly question, but I guess, is that just because we've kind of, or those astrologers that read that way, is because it's sort of been passed down through tradition and lineage that they sort of keep it that way? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you have a thought on that?
Yes. To your point of what you just said, absolutely. How it's passed down. I was a student of tropical astrology for 20 years. Now it's exceeding 20 years, right? Which is interesting. It's like, well, where does time go? And I was reading tropical charts for about 10 years. So I was working with people in their charts for 10 years. It was about seven of those 10 years of me working with somebody's chart that I had no idea what sidereal astrology was. I had no idea that tropical astrology didn't actually work with the true stars, the true placement of things. And when I found that out, I felt conned. I was like, wait, what? Yeah. And a lot of people are realizing this now. I said that about 3 to 4 years ago. I was saying, you know, sidereal astrology is about to, more and more people are going to find out about it. And when you find out about it, there's kind of this like shift where you're like, wait a minute, does that mean my whole chart was a lie? Or, oh my gosh, I'm so attached, or I associate so much with this chart. But here's the thing, baby. Both charts are true. They're both divination systems. And when we're talking about sidereal and tropical astrology, we have to remember that astrology is divination. So thousands and thousands of years ago, we did not have computers. Astrologers were actually astronomers. And mm-hmm. they would look up at the sky and they would observe this beautiful big celestial body that we call Venus. And they would see that behind it was the constellation of Libra, right? And to them, that timing meant something collectively, right? It was a pattern. But when they would look at somebody's chart, which they calculated by hand, those patterns would then tell that seer, that astronomer, that astrologer, like, oh, this person likely has this quality because I've seen that in dozens of other charts. And we have to remember, no one knew how to write their own chart. I don't know. I don't personally know how to draft my own chart looking at the sky, right? So this was something that it wasn't accessible like it is now with apps and right. websites and Instagram accounts. This was something that a smaller group of people had mm-hmm. a knowledge about, and they would divine information and they would guide people. We have turned it into modern times, into this personality assessment. And I think that's where we get really trapped and it mm-hmm. can get sticky, because think of the first time you saw your chart and you knew that there was more than your sun. You encountered that expansion of self and you saw all the facets of self. That's astrology's magic. So long, long ago, you know, we actually, as astrologers, it was sidereal astrology in my eyes. Mm. So what happened is, as science started evolving and astronomers evolved, and I kind of joke, you know, I wasn't around back then in this body with this mind, but maybe in another body, right? But, you know, I joke that some of them kind of left the woo-woo. They were like, all right, I'm following this path and this trajectory of the evolution of science and astronomy, right? And that magic, the mysticism, started to become a separate sector. And at that time, there was a lot of astrologers who weren't evolving with the path of astronomy, which was identifying something called the precession of the equinox. So again, you can Google that image so you know what I'm speaking of. And that is a phenomenon that it's saying, and it shows how the earth wobbles through time, right? So the earth is slowly wobbling back and forth. And as earth wobbles, that means that our view of space from earth is going to shift and wobble too. Oh. So what happened is astronomers became aware of this. And what that did is everything in astronomy that was rooted in astrology at that time started to not become valid anymore. All of a sudden, there was somebody who discovered, wait a minute, we say that the sun is in Aries every vernal equinox, the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere. But now here, you know, many, many years later, I'm looking up through my telescope and look at this. It's moving backwards. So that wobbling of Earth, right, it changes our view of space 1 degree every 72 years. And that doesn't sound like a lot. But over the hundreds and thousands of years of astrology, now what happens is when we look at what's called tropical astrology, which uses this very fixed zodiac that's beautifully tied to the seasons, it's 24 degrees off from astronomy. So that's almost a whole sign, right? Mm-hmm. And in more time, it's going to be 2 signs off. So when I found all that out, I was like, wait a minute. For me personally, as David, and this doesn't have to be, you know, somebody else's heart or truth, but for me, I was like, if I'm going to be using the stars and planets as divination,
yeah,
I want to work with where they actually are. So my long, long answer to your question is, it is how things were passed down through lineage. And when we go back to kind of the beginning, you have to remember there's that split of science, right? And astrology.
Yeah.
And I've met so many tropical astrologers that don't even know that they're not using the stars. And I've met tropical astrologers who think that just because I'm a sidereal astrologer, I'm a Vedic astrologer, I'm not one. Mm-hmm. Right? But Vedic astrologers are all sidereal astrologers.
Yeah. So it's pretty mind-blowing, actually. And I love this, this explanation, because I think that was sort of how, when I came across one of your videos that sort of explained this for the first time, I think, literally just stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, what? What is he talking about? Everyone else on Instagram is saying the moon. Yeah, I think actually it was something like the moon was in Cancer and it was in something completely different. But then when you explained it and I looked more into your content or something and I was Googling more and I was like, hang on, this makes so much more sense that we would actually look to the stars for what's happening right now. And totally, I think it's not really something that we've spoken about a lot in this sort of world. It's something that is sort of coming out of the closet, I think, or sidereal is like re-emerging potentially, because I'm sure that it comes in waves. And I wondered, to your point on, you said you touched on so many interesting things there, but one thing you mentioned was the sort of movement of the earth and how actually over time that's going to differ so much that, you know, the signs change even more. I mean, how is that? I mean, maybe you can't answer that question, but how, in my mind, I'm like, how can people not change then what they're doing, their approach, because it's going to get so outdated.
I know.
Have you had any conversations about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think over time, I was saying a few years ago, I'm like, watch, in 10 years, there's going to be more sidereal astrologers. And I've even been watching the hashtag on TikTok grow. Because it's one that I use, and I've been seeing that number raise and raise more and more. Mm-hmm. I'm not an astronomer, right? I know a little bit of astronomy here and there. I like to learn about it to enrich my practice as an astrologer. But exactly, as that wobble keeps going and moving, the view of space is going to change more. So eventually, you know, tropical astrology will say the first full moon of the year is in Cancer, when actually it's all the way in Capricorn across the other side of the ecliptic or the zodiac. So it's interesting. One day, a long time from now, it will come back to that point that tropical astrology is fixed to. And when we look back, I mean, this is only my assumption of it. When we look back at those tropical astrologers, you know, there were astrologers that decided to stick with that system because tropical astrology is very effective. It does work. I used it for a long time. It's a divination system and it's one of balance. You have 12 signs that's equally divided. You have four elements equally divided. Each of those elements fits into one mode, right? You have the four seasons and it all syncs up. But one of my, one of my criticisms of tropical astrology, and again, remember everybody, I did it for a long time. I still read tropical charts, is it's so rooted to the Northern Hemisphere. It's so white, male, science, right? Like, well, we're going to say Scorpio is, you know, it's the sign of death, and that's fixed to fall. It's the fixed sign of autumn. Mm-hmm. It's when all the leaves die. And that's true, but that's only true in the Northern Hemisphere. If you're a Southern Hemispheric friend or a Southern Hemispheric astrologer or witch or whatnot, I have somebody in one of my workshops right now, that story of tropical astrology in the zodiac, it's reversed. When we're talking about fall and death of Scorpio, they're in their spring. When we're talking about the warmth of summer and Leo, they're in their winter. You know, so sidereal astrology to me is more universal. It's more collective because you're working with space.
Yeah,
you're not working with the seasons.
Yeah, it makes so much sense to me. But it's so interesting. I'll be very curious actually after this episode what, you know, what people think and what discussions we will have, because yeah. And you just mentioned also that you still read tropical. So I was going to ask you, like, when you give readings, because we're also going to dive into my chart in a moment. And I have some sort of revelations where we were looking at my sidereal last week, some good and some I was not so happy about. And I guess it's just, getting used to this kind of new approach. But do clients of yours kind of lean towards sidereal now, or do you do a little bit of both, or like, do you have sort of pros and cons that you sort of take from each one, a specific element, or would you only read a chart that's one only, if that makes sense? Like, you wouldn't mix the two together, or would you?
Yeah. So people come to me for sidereal on my website. You know, when you book an astrology reading, it's all set up. You're going to have a sidereal one. So I feel like that's what people come to me for.
Yeah.
I do read tropical charts for, really well-established regular clients, some of the students I work with. my loved ones, my friends, my family members. And if I ever have a client who books an astrology reading and they want a tropical chart, of course I will. But mm-hmm. I'm always going to encourage people to let me read their sidereal, because we have so many discoveries, and it doesn't invalidate your tropical chart. If anything, it adds to it. I remember the time that I started working with my sidereal chart and exploring it. It felt like it matched the version of me that I was then, where my tropical chart is an old version of me. And I explain it, when you work with a chart, it's like you using one tarot deck versus another one by another artist. That one tarot deck, that imagery might have resonated with you when you were 22, but by the time you're in your late 20s or 30s, maybe it's a different deck that you feel really attached to, or a totally different type of oracle. So the oracle is going to read you. You don't read the oracle, right? Your tarot cards read you. You don't read your tarot cards. So your astrology chart reads you. You don't read your chart.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, thanks. And I just find it fascinating. And I am so with you. I feel like sidereal is going to just grow and grow and grow just based on, some of the stuff that you're sharing. And I know, as you said, like with TikTok, it's also growing. So I'm definitely going to keep an eye out. And I am not really well versed in astrology. I think I've joked on this podcast before. I'm like not an astrology witch. It's just not like something I feel called to, but I do find it like to learn for myself. But I do find it really interesting. Actually, when I saw your sidereal content, I was like, that felt it felt right. Like something in my heart was like, this feels.
Oh, love that.
Yeah. Just like, this is literally like you look up into the sky and this is what is mirroring you at that time. So yeah, I find it really interesting. So let's see how it unfolds in the future. And we were going to dive into my chart, weren't we, as an example, because I think people on this episode probably will be just as mind blown as me to kind of discover that potentially their signs are going to be super different, or at least it was for me, very different to what was in tropical astrology to sidereal. But you also have the same signs, right, in your tropical and western.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you'll notice if maybe you're new to sidereal astrology and you haven't heard of any of this before, and this is the first time, when you reference your sidereal chart, everything in your chart's going to move 24 degrees backwards. And again, that's because tropical astrology is currently right now 24 degrees off from astronomy. So the thing I like to joke about is everyone kind of has this like existential crisis because their chart totally shifts. Maybe you don't, and that's chill too. You don't need to have that, but just allow yourself to see the shifts and see what it can bring up. And again, are you attached to that one sign and archetype? Are you fulfilling and manifesting that personality because you think you're supposed to? Because somebody told you, you're a Gemini, right? And this is what a Gemini is like. That's just one of the things I like to say. Can you allow yourself to be a shapeshifter and change your vibe, right? That's the fun part of switching charts. But when I switched and I started looking at mine, my sun stayed in Taurus and my moon stayed in Libra, and it was my rising sign that changed from Aquarius to sidereal Capricorn. And most people, their sun signs change. What I say is if you're born in the first 3 weeks of the tropical season, right? So those first 3 weeks of that sun sign season, you are going to change signs and you're going to move backwards. If you're born in the last week of your tropical sun sign, you will stay that sign in sidereal, right? So 24 degrees, basically. So my partner always jokes with me because he's a tropical Taurus. He's a sidereal Cancer. I learned very quickly, never tell a freaking fire sign that they are a water sign. Oh my gosh. Especially a Leo that they're a Cancer. But he is a Cancer. I see it. He was like, the only reason you were able to switch to sidereal is because your sun and moon stayed the same. And I'm like, you're so right. And I know that. So, you know, the sun is how we see ourselves. It's how our ego sees us. I say the moon is how our soul sees us. and our rising sign is how the world sees us, right? Mm. See what changes, see what shifts, and see if you could be a shapeshifter and see yourself differently.
I really like that. But it wasn't easy a transition for you.
It was, yes. I did mourn and grieve that Aquarius rising.
Yeah. Actually, but I see that for you. The Aquarius.
Right? A mm-hmm. lot of people tell me that. But here's mm-hmm. the thing. So in my tropical chart, I'm an Aquarius rising and my north node is in Pisces. North node is our, some astrologers call it our point of destiny. It's our point that our soul wants us to head and to evolve in this life. It's all the things we haven't learned before. And when I worked with my tropical chart for almost 2 decades, that north node Pisces guided me so much. It got mm-hmm. me to this period of my life as a full-time spiritual practitioner, as a full-time psychic medium. I followed it. Mm-hmm. But once I was there, and I was established in that, and I started working with my sidereal chart, I mourned the loss of that Aquarius rising, because I'm like, oh, how edgy and cool yeah, and exactly. how rebellious that is. But then my north node in my sidereal became an Aquarius north node, and my south node moved to Leo. And that at that time made so much sense to me, because I was already established in that role of the mystic, the Pisces, mm-hmm. right? And then I realized, all right, I got to be focused on collectivism. I got to be focused on humanity. I got to be focused on progression, moving forward. I have to go against the grain. Mm-hmm. I have to be rebellious. And I had friends telling me, I think you should start talking about sidereal astrology, but you'll be alone. Isn't that going to be weird for you? The rest of the internet is going to think you're off or you're not yeah. real. And I go, well, that's what an Aquarius North Node would want.
Yeah.
I have to do the things that, you know, are uncommon. I have to do what might be uncomfortable and change it. So point being with my own little personal story is that you might lose a sign or an archetype in your tropical chart, but it will reappear in a different way in your sidereal chart. So be curious. All of your houses, wherever your placement is in your tropical chart, it will typically be in the same house in your sidereal chart unless you change house systems. So it's the signs that change. It's not the houses.
Gotcha. Right? Okay. It's interesting, though. It kind of did find you in the right way, in the right time, which is really, really, really
it beautiful. It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I hear. I give so many. I've given hundreds of astrology readings, maybe almost 1,000 now. And a lot of people will always say, wow, this makes sense for where I'm at now. Mm. And as a reader, if you're reading tarot cards, if you're reading astrology chart, or you're not using any physical oracles and you're just reading energy, you always have to trust that the message is going to find the person.
Yeah.
Right? You just have to be passive. You have to be receptive and you have to surrender and know it will appear. So it does.
I love that so much. And it really relates to our chat that we had the other week, where you shared with me for the first time my sidereal astrology, and you were sharing with me my north node, which I didn't know what a north node was until we had that chat last week, and the south node. And it did actually, that when now you're talking about it, this is kind of a pivotal moment in my life where I feel that the energy of that north node, which for me is in Capricorn, makes a lot of sense. And I think in my Western tropical, it's Aquarius, which also kind of makes sense mm-hmm. that I'm moving on to Capricorn now, because, I can really relate to that. And maybe for the listeners, actually, David, because you explained the north node, but could you also explain the south node? Because I found that really interesting.
Yeah. So the north and the south node is what's called the nodal axis of the moon. That sounds so astronomically fancy and whatnot. What that means is that they are not physical objects, right? So it's not like Venus. It's not like Ceres, a big, big asteroid. It's a mathematical point of the moon that represents the moon's orbit around the Earth and the sun's orbit, right? Or I should say the Earth's orbit around the sun. In astrology from Earth, of course, it looks like the sun is orbiting around us, mm-hmm. right? But no, the Earth is orbiting around the sun. But that's why you'll notice in a birth chart, you see the sun moving around the chart, right? But that's just because it's our view. So the nodal axis is determined about all those orbits combined, right? And they change about every 18 to 24 months. So you're going to typically have the same north and south node as the person that is born in the same year as you, or I like to say in the same graduating class. You might not, though. And what the north node means is our destiny, right? Or I like to say everything that your soul feels is unlearned in this lifetime. It's the scary stuff. It's the things that are probably going to make you uncomfortable. The south node represents everything that your soul has already learned, everything that it's accomplished. I believe in past lives. I work with the spirit world. I know past lives to be true based on what I hear. So I look at the south node as our past lives, right? Everything that you've learned, everything you've accomplished. But if past lives aren't in your belief system, that's okay. If reincarnation isn't, if soul is a weird word for you, or it just doesn't resonate with you, you could just look at it as past and future, right? Mm-hmm. So north node, future, where you're heading, south node, past, where you've been.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the explanation. And then, yeah, maybe to share a little bit about what came up in those nodes, and then maybe we could look at the main three signs, because I have lots to discuss with you. So I wanted to share that the insights from the north and south node that you shared with me last week, because one thing in particular that really resonated, and I shared this with a couple of close friends after the reading with you, is that you had said to me that my north node is in Capricorn in sidereal and my south node is in Cancer. And you actually, I didn't share any of this with you, but you had said to me that, you know, this past lives or past, or however you want to, you know, think about it, as you said, was about kind of, yeah, what you've moved through in your past. And my sign in Cancer is, you had mentioned when we chatted, that it was a lot about potentially of having lived out a life where motherhood and sort of having children was quite prevalent. And actually, my whole life, I have really questioned whether I would like to have children, if that is an option. Wow. I haven't really looked too detailed into it, but I've always felt a bit of a sort of, I guess, a rebellion against that sort of societal norm of having kids and doing that whole kind of family stuff. And it's been really uncomfortable my whole life, because I've been like, I don't know, should I do this? Maybe, like, maybe it will come at one point. And I had to have a chat openly with my husband recently, where we got married when we were in our early 20s and now we're in our 30s. And I was like, I don't know if I actually want kids. Like, this is super open, but I hope that will help some listeners. Because when I found that out about, you know, Cancer in South, in my past, having already sort of fulfilled that role as a mother, that was like a real, it sounds really over the top potentially, but for me, that's been sort of weighing on my shoulders for quite a lot of time. Like, I'm sort of going against that grain, and I feel so differently, which is, I guess, sort of normally potentially quite natural to most people, is to want that sort of traditional life as a mom. And it's just never felt right for me. And maybe it will in the future. I'm, you know, we all move and change, but right now that really doesn't resonate for me. And that sort of understanding in the sidereal astrology gave me so much comfort. And then the north node being in Capricorn, I've always felt this drive to run a business, create a business. I didn't know how really, but it's always been there. Like, just innately, that's just what lights me up. And that Capricorn sign just makes so much sense. So yeah, I wanted to say also thank you for sharing that information with me, because it was really precious and it makes so much sense to me. So that really resonated with me from sidereal. So thank you.
I love that. I always, the nodes are so magical. They give so much depth to the reading, to the chart, even if you're just working with your own. And I see that a lot. You know, when you work with astrology, when you study with astrology, you're studying rhythm, cycles, patterns. You're studying hermetic correspondence, as without, so within, as above, so below. You're studying hermetic polarity, right? With all the different zodiacs. So polarity, right? Cancer and Capricorn are polar opposites. And whenever I see Cancer in the south, I know that that has been an individual, a soul who's had a lot of lifetimes, right? As a parent, probably a mother in that maternal, right? In a birthing body. And I have seen that come up a lot with individuals where I'll share that. And then they're like, my goodness, I've always had this kind of feeling like, I just don't want that. And is that a bad thing or should I do it? And it's not that when you, you know, say, you know, hypothetically that a cancer south node is there, it's not that you shouldn't not mother, shouldn't not have children, but it might look differently. And your soul's already done that. So it doesn't need to be the priority. The priority is all that north node Capricorn, which for those of you who aren't familiar with the signs, Capricorn in divination is structure, discipline, right? Building things. I always say a north node CEO or a north node Capricorn is like a CEO. It's a it's a solopreneur. And Amy has that in your 10th house, right?
Yeah.
Of career. It's very on the nose. But, you know, if you're listening and you're not sure kind of, well, how does he make that make sense with the nodes and the sign and everything in the house? I always say the sign tells us how, the house shows and tells us where, when, and why, right? So the house gives so much more context. The sign is just showing how someone is doing it, right? The mode of operation. The house is showing where, when, why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. It makes sense. And yeah, I just find it so fascinating about the sort of destiny and the past. And yeah, just for sure gave me some comfort. And I always just think in astrology as well, like when you dive a bit deeper and you find out some of these insights about yourself that, you know, and this can be for tropical or sidereal or whatever resonates, but it definitely makes you feel like, oh, that's why I'm that way. And I shouldn't, you know, I kind of makes you think like a lot in my past, I felt like I needed to apologize for kind of wanting to do some of this kind of like quite, I guess, like hardcore, like sort of driven, like business stuff, which I guess women are still building new, like, you know, ways of fulfilling that role. And it's been a bit of a challenge at times because people can think you're a bit like, yeah, but I don't know, just have a lot of opinions around it and sort of, you know, even just having to share with people that you might not want children. It's not always still, it's not really like the thing that you expect to hear from women. So, yeah, so I really appreciated that. And then we looked into my top three. And I think, yeah, it's really nice for people to kind of go away and Google their own sidereal top three, because I was like very shocked at what came up. Because I love what you're also saying about having to shape shift your thoughts around the signs. And actually, last year, I thought that my rising sign was a Libra for over a year because my mum had told me the wrong time of day. And then I actually found out it was Gemini. So I had to already do some shape shifting around Gemini because, I guess the sort of memification of signs as well is quite dangerous sometimes, because when I found out about my rising in Gemini, I was like, oh,
memification.
Dear, I don't want that. Like, yeah, but like Gemini, especially, yes. I think there's, you know, this whole aspect of it being two-sided. And then I sort of looked more deeply into it and I was like, oh yeah, that does make sense to me from a Western tropical perspective that my rising is Gemini, because communication and sort of humor is really a big thing. So my sun is in Scorpio, my rising is Gemini, and my moon is in Aries in Western tropical. Mm-hmm. However, we found out last week when we chatted that my sidereal is sun in Libra, rising is Taurus, and Pisces moon. That's right, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you actually... So you actually have what's called a stellium in Libra. Stellium is when you have more than three planets in one sign or a house.
Okay.
So like your sun is in Libra, your Venus is in Libra, your Mercury is in Libra, and then your Pluto, which is a generational planet, is also in Libra. So you got a lot of Libra.
Okay. Is that a good thing?
I think, yes, they're all good things, right? I think Libra, you know, what you were kind of speaking about with your rising Gemini and your tropical chart, relations, communications, networking, all of that, that's very Libra stellium. So Gemini, Libra, and Pisces are the three signs of duality in the zodiac. That's what I call them. And when we think of it, Gemini is the twins, right? Libra is the scales. And then Pisces is the two fish. So those are all very relationally focused. And Libra and Gemini are both air signs. They have a lot in common.
Yeah.
You know, a Libra sun is going to look at themselves, though, differently than a Gemini sun, of course. A Libra sun is going to look at themselves as, how am I in relation to this other person? Okay. How am I feeling based on this relationship I'm in, this dynamic I'm in? What do I need to do right now to get myself to be in this type of energy for this other person, whether that's a coworker, a partner, a friend? So a Libra sun, they tend to be very, very relationally focused, and sometimes they can miss over, right? Or they can skip over some of their own needs, right? Or their own awareness that needs to come to the surface, right? A Gemini sun to me is somebody who's like, who am I right now and what am I offering to this dynamic? How am I making it move? Right? What is the dynamic need from me right now? There's a little bit more of a me-ness, where with Libra, there's a little bit more of a we-ness.
Interesting. I have to decipher which one resonates more. And I think this is the great thing, isn't it? When you sort of like hear your sidereal, and if people are sort of finding this out for themselves at home, then it is really cool to kind of dive into the zodiacs and maybe think about them in a different way, because I have so many Libra friends, because they are very kind of endearing in that sense of they're always thinking about you. You're so right. It's like really relational and just really beautiful, lovely souls I've met. People agree or disagree based on their Libra.
I mean, literally today, every time you and I are on Zoom, and even when we're doing mentoring, right? And I'm kind of there to be your container. You're like, how are you? What's going on with you? How are you today? Well, I mean, you led me through a meditation today. Right? So I see the Libra in you.
Oh, okay. Sure. Interesting. And that's interesting. Okay. Well, I feel like you're more, like kind for me in that way. But thank you for the compliment. Okay. But then rising in Taurus. So I don't vibe with this one, but maybe you can unpack Taurus a bit, because I think I'm really wedded to my sun in Scorpio in Western tropical, and I love Taurus people. I know that you're a Taurian as well in your chart, but for me, I just feel like I'm too out there to be a Taurus, but maybe you can unpack the Taurus a little bit.
For sure. Well, remember, our rising sign or ascendant sign is one of our most out there aspects of our chart, because this is our facade. This is what we are projecting outward, typically unconsciously, right?
Okay.
So our rising sign energy is happening even if we don't want it to. So from my perspective as an astrologer, when I look at someone's rising sign, I know that there is there's an unconscious aspect to it, right? It's not the type of facade or the mask that you are consciously choosing, like, ooh, I'm going to put on winged liner today because that makes me feel X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to wear pink because that makes me feel. It's just, this is what is innately here. A little astronomy with the rising sign too. So the rising sign, the ascendant of the chart, is always the 0 degree line of the whole chart, right? So it's at the very, very left of your chart. And it's that line that's in between the 12th and the first house. That line represents the eastern horizon. Okay. So long, long ago, when astrologers or astronomers would look out, they would calculate the whole chart off of the eastern horizon. That's what sets up the entire house system in the chart. Everything below that line is what's not visible on Earth. Everything above that line, so houses 7 through 12, is what was visible in the sky, right, when you were born. And astrologers and seers would calculate that ascendant or rising sign as that was the constellation or sign that was rising up when the person was born. So it was the first visible thing about them. And I like to explain that because a lot of people, they're like, well, why does that sign mean that thing? Because literally, if you think of the horizon line, that's the first visible thing of the moment.
That's cool.
So In tropical astrology, right, yours was pointing into Gemini, right? And that's valid and that's real. So a rising Gemini is going to come off very sociable, very collaborative, very inspirational. They're probably going to be the person that everybody wants to kind of have at the meeting, right? Like, ooh, let's get Amy's energy there. Let's have her in this session. She'll have the great ideas. Mm-hmm. They also can come off a little bit everywhere and nowhere, in my opinion. And that's because Gemini is air.
Yeah.
And Gemini is mercurial. There isn't a lot of ground to Gemini energy. It really needs ground. So now when we switch to sidereal, we're in a very different energy. We're with
really
your sidereal Taurus, which is ground. It's not mercurial. Taurus is a fixed sign, where Gemini is immutable, mutable meaning changing. And Taurus is the sign of divine femininity. This is the second zodiac sign. And it's all about receptivity. It's all about the five senses. It's all about receiving and being with the pleasures of life and embodying that divine feminine, right? And when I say feminine, I mean the esoteric energy or interpretation of gender, not the social interpretation of gender that we speak a lot about right now. So a rising Taurus individual, this is going to be the person that people come to ground them. This is going to be the person that people come to for them to be with as a container, right? A rising Taurus person is probably going to be the one that people come to put stuff on their back or to ride their, to ride them, right? And when I say ride them, I mean, because Taurus is the bull. It's, it carries a lot, right? It's sturdy. It's strong.
That's interesting.
Does that make sense?
It does. It's so, so interesting because, like, I don't want to just piggyback off what you were saying earlier, but
no, yeah.
To be honest, like, the more we dive into this, like, it is really interesting that it has found me at this time, because I think throughout my whole life, I would really resonate with that Gemini rising, because all those aspects that you were just saying, very interchangeable. I guess, like, yeah, I was that person that you would bring into meetings because I was a bit strange and would just say what I think. And that was like that Gemini side is just like, I'm super transparent and good at communication. But now, actually, I feel like in this sort of next chapter of my life, I am much more grounded only within the sort of last year, I think. And that's been a lot to do with sort of finding more depth within the spiritual world and the community aspect. And actually, I think, I guess I still relate to that Gemini side, but the talk, yeah, it's just really interesting to hear that. And I think just being that person that people sort of rely on also in, you know, in this space, it's becoming more prevalent to be someone that people come to and turn to and ask questions. And yeah, so it is interesting. I think how.
Can I ask you a question with the rising? Because the rising sign, the ascendant sign, it has so much to do with our identity, right? And our physical body, our physical appearance. Another way to kind of look at that is, how would you rather like to come off with your appearance, your identity, right? Your clothing or your accessories. Do you want to, is having an outfit that looks interesting and engaging more important to you, or having an outfit where the materials and the feeling and the texture is more important? Because you see the Gemini and the Taurus.
Yeah.
Taurus is sense. It's all about the sensing, the feel. And also, I mean, you're speaking to a Taurus stellium. I got six placements in it. We love luxury. We love nice things and aesthetics. Aesthetics are important. But a Taurus rising is going to construct their conscious identity based on how they're feeling with things. How does that fabric feel? Is it a nice fabric, right? Versus Gemini rising is probably going to be more prone to consciously construct their identity, like, ooh, is this outfit going to get somebody to engage with me?
Yes.
Is it going to spark a conversation? Is it inspirational, right? Does it have a look?
Absolutely.
It might be both.
This is literally my dress sense unfolding in the last sort of 5 years. I was always wear like not outrageous things, but things to get comments. And now I'm like, no, I want to invest more, buy less. I love that analogy. It makes so much sense to me.
Right? Yeah. And that's the thing why I say the charts, the messages are going to find you, right? Mm. So when we start looking at astrology as divination and we stop looking at it as personality, you'll see how it will match you and it will find you, whether you're working with an astrologer or not. It's the magic of it.
Right? I love that so much. I think that's gorgeous.
I knew I'd get you with that rising.
With the clothes, yeah.
I knew I'd get, like, I'll get her into her Taurus rising.
But this is why it's so great to talk about, because I think we all have our own sort of, you know, maybe mind made up, I want to say, but like there is, again, like this sort of memification. It's the stuff we see all over the Instagram world of like, this is what this sign means. And I think if you're someone like me who isn't well-versed in astrology and who isn't a reader, then this stuff is so important. And I'm sure I'll take a lot away, and I hope listeners will as well. So maybe we can go through the last one, which is, I'm not going to lie, I was also quite upset about this one, but based on what you shared with me about Taurus, I hope you can change my mind. So in my Western tropical, I'm an Aries moon, which really resonates for me. But now I'm also saying that out loud. It has resonated with me all my life. So it's very fast moving, kind of just go, 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 go. And I have to really pull back. And I'm trying to pull back more a lot because I've realized that Aries moon has got me into a lot of trouble in the past where I react quickly to things. It's been so good in the corporate world because it's allowed me to go fast and like
achieve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with that Pisces moon, it feels, and again, maybe it's my own stereotypes around the Pisces, but I feel like it's like,
well, tell them, share them.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know, just like super emotional and like very open. But I find sometimes when I've been in Piscean energy, I just don't have the time for it. I'm just like, move me out in my Aries moon. I'm like, love you, but I don't want to dive into into your emotions today. That sounds really mean, but like,
no, I get you.
But yeah, that's my own sort of interpretation of Pisces, which is probably like completely wrong. So maybe you can demystify Pisces a little bit.
I love that you're bringing up the memification, because that's pop astrology. And for those of you who haven't heard of that, pop astrology is the sector, the spheres of astrology that are very deeply tied to pop culture. So it's when you see the meme with the latest image of the celebrity, and one celebrity, it says Aries, and the other one, it says Cancer. And those are funny, and they're entertaining, and they're also clickbait. So, right, it's astrology is humor.
Yeah.
And when you look in magazines, most magazines, especially the ones that are very tied to, you know, celebrity culture, image, status, you're going to see pop astrology in there. What I love about pop astrology is that the last 10 years, it's helped integrate astrology into the mainstream. Now we have Gen Zs. They all know their charts. They all know their signs. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I was made fun of for looking at my birth chart when I was a teenager. You know, it's very different now. But again, that's where you start to see these kind of stereotypical, very shameful.
Yeah.
Let's really talk about it. They're pretty shameful.
Yeah.
And disempowering personas of the signs. Mm. So yeah, Pisces, a disempowering one, super emotional, codependent, flaky, slippery, uncommitting, Taurus, lazy, indulgent. Yeah. It's like, actually, Tauruses work their ass off. And we also, we're not workaholics. Mm. We like our leisure, right? But as funny and entertaining as those can be, when you are working with the chart, you can't work with pop astrology because they're disempowering. And astrology or any divination system should be empowering. I would never want somebody to leave a reading with me and feel disempowered.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at your own chart, don't use this question. Is my understanding of this archetypal sign disempowering and shameful? Because if it is, don't bring that into your chart, girl.
Yeah, right? So true.
All astrologers look at astrology so different. I think it's one of the most widely interpreted divination systems, truly. And I always encourage people, get to know the zodiac signs in your own authentic way. Get to know the planets in your own way. Get to know the houses in your own way. Develop your own language that's not memified.
Yeah.
and then it will start moving and flowing. So when we think of Pisces moon, right? A moon to me is telling me what nourishes the person. It's showing me the soul of the chart, right? And that's because the North Node and the South Node are actually lunar points. So if I need to know about somebody's past life or where their soul's progressing, it's a lunar point, right? We can also work with the white moon, Selena or Selena. We can work with the black moon, Lilith. These are all mathematical points of the moon that show light and shadow, progression, stagnation. So when we work with the moon, we're looking at what nourishes the individual. A moon in Aries is, I nourish me. Where I'm at, what I'm achieving, my status, how I'm coming off in the world, where I'm positioned, how well, quote, I'm doing in life. That's what nourishes me. And also, I'm independent, right? I may not be like David, moon in Libra, where relationships nourish me, right? So now it switches, right?
Yeah.
So when we're working with the moon, we're working with what nourishes us. So when we work with the Pisces moon, I always say Pisces is so tied to the alchemical operation of dissolution. Dissolution of putting things in a solution or water and dissolving them. There's an old alchemical saying that says, dissolve to unite. Right. So if you put two materials into water or solution over time, they'll dissolve and they become one thing again. That is the story of Pisces in the zodiac. It's the last sign. It dissolves all the boundaries, all the structures, all the ego, and it connects us back to spirit or our spirit. That's what brings us home. Where Aries is the first incarnation, it's ego, it's me.
My God.
Pisces is the all. Right. So you see that that movement when we're working from a moon in Aries to moon in Pisces, very, very different because Aries is the first sign, Pisces is the last. So Pisces is the sign of spirituality, the sign of mysticism. Piscean energy loves exploring the dreaming realm, the subconscious. It is emotional, right? And at times, Piscean energy might be overly emotional, but this isn't your rising. This is your moon, Amy. So the moon is what typically no one sees except you.
Yeah, I am really emotional.
Or your loved ones.
And by the way, I hope I didn't sound too mean about Piscean because I had this thing when I found out I was actually a rising Gemini rather than Libra in my Western tropical, I got very upset and I sort of had to unpack the sign. So it sort of always takes me a while to come around to these things because I'm just like, I need someone to tell me a little bit more information because I am a sucker. I have been sort of fed that memification and it's so true. It's so disempowering. I mean,
we all have.
Yeah.
And I speak to it. If anyone even looks at my feed, I use it as humor sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And I don't use it in readings.
Yeah.
It is funny. Yeah. It helps us understand. And humor is a sacred ally. You know, be weary of practitioners that don't use humor. You can't be so strict all the time. Humor helps us understand. But
yeah,
I think there's an overabundance of the astrology memes.
Absolutely.
And people just think that. And that's, you know, these archetypes are old and they're very sacred. And we have all of them in us. We all are Piscean. True. We all are Scorpion.
Yeah. Absolutely. But thanks for sharing more on the Pisces moon. Again, a Pisces moon. I mean, again, it makes so much sense because what you would describe, I've also never heard someone describe Aries and Pisces that way. So thank you for that. And the Aries side, yeah, again, like just speaks so much to that life that I was living or I am somewhat still living. I'm trying to sort of leave it for good. But the sort of corporate, you know, side of what I've been doing my whole life has been so Aries, so driven and just so in the ego, like to be completely honest.
Right.
And it's got, you know, it got me to places that, you know, I still think it was all for a purpose. But yeah, this sort of movement now into this sort of next phase of, you know, my chapter with finding myself more spiritually, that Pisces moon really does make sense. So yeah, I think I love it so much. I think I really appreciate you unpacking the sidereal top three. I think the only thing that I still want to hang on to is the Sun Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. No one ever. Because no one ever wants to let go of their sun in Scorpio.
I love being a Scorpio because I'm like, again, I love that association with being a boss bitch. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to let that go.
One of my best friends in life is a tropical sun Scorpio.
Yeah.
She becomes like you. She's born maybe a week after you.
Yeah.
She becomes a sidereal Libra. And I see her as both. Yeah. I mean, and we have so many jokes through time. Allison, if you're listening, she probably isn't. But, you know, I just see her as that Scorpio, that magnetism. And they're both there. They're both there. But you still have, you know, in your sidereal chart, your black moon Lilith is in Scorpio.
Okay.
Your Juno's in Scorpio. It's still hanging out.
Still got some good old Scorpio in there. Good. That makes me happy. Yeah.
Do you find yourself attracted to people that have a lot of Scorpio energy? Are you drawn to that?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes. Yes, I do. I think Scorpios, Capricorns, Tauruses as well, actually, Libras. My husband is an Aries. Actually, I need to read his sidereal because he's an Aries sun in Western.
What's his birthday? Tropical. Just his month and date.
24th of March, 1989.
Yeah, so he'd become a sidereral Pisces because he's born in that first week of, right, Aries season.
Good off the top of your head. So as it's interesting because we are kind of the yin and yang. So he's the sun in Aries in Western tropical and I'm moon in Aries, but then we would switch that. So yeah, okay, cool. So it kind of makes sense. I see that for him. I do see a Pisces in him more than an Aries because I never saw the Aries in him. So I'm going to unpack that, I think, after this conversation for him as well, because it's just seeing people in different ways, right, and in different lights. And I think taking what resonates is really cool. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this. And I'm sure listeners have taken away so much knowledge from all that you were packing in there through my chart, but also, just the way that we look at the zodiacs. And David, I guess just to end, if people also wanted to maybe start thinking about reading astrology in a sidereal way for themselves, like I would love to know also, is that accessible at the moment? Or like, how can they do that if they wanted to know more?
It's not that accessible.
Really?
So when I started working with it, I couldn't find books. I found most of the knowledge I needed in books around astronomy, right?
Okay.
And then on different channels on YouTube, one being Joni Patrice. She is a Vedic astrologer. So just to clarify, Vedic astrology is a very different system, different house system, different archetypes than Western astrology, but it uses sidereal measurement, right? And I'm a Western astrologer. I just use sidereal measurement. So Joni Patrice has some interesting stuff. And then Mastering the Zodiac is another channel on YouTube. That's really great. He gives a lot of good information. But there's not many Western astrologers who use sidereal. We're a really small group. One day there will be a book from me.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've already been, I have the outlines in my head. So one day that will come.
Okay.
It's hard to find books on it. There's lots of books on tropical astrology. And remember, when you work with sidereal astrology, the methods are the same as Western tropical. It's just what the signs, that's all that changes.
Yeah.
Your planet is going to be in a different sign now. That's all.
Yeah.
So you can know the basics of Western astrology and then just use the different measurement of sidereal.
Okay, cool. And I guess people can always, I know that you're super booked out. I'm very lucky to have a spot of you on your mentoring at the moment, private mentoring, which I'm loving on the tarot. But I guess people can also like sign up for your waitlist, right? If they want to learn more about sidereal.
Totally.
Get some mentoring.
Yeah. I've had so many requests for mentoring on astrology over the years, and launched a private mentoring for astrology for 2023. Most of my private mentoring has always been with psychism, right? Spirit communication, tarot and whatnot. So I have that now. I teach astrology workshops throughout the year. I'm in one right now with my pal, Lucy Porter. And then even if like a mentorship, something of a time commitment like that isn't for you, somebody can always book a soul coaching on my website and just use that as a container of time and kind of ask me anything, pick my brain. But always here for readings of any kind. And yeah, davidpetrusich.com is the website. You can type in alchemybydavid.com. It will bring you to the same place. And on Instagram and TikTok, it's just David Petrusich, my full name. No hyphens, no spaces, no numbers.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll pop all your links in the show notes as well, because I know that people will check you out if they probably are already following you. Thank you so much, David. I've learned so much, as always, from your chats. And yeah, I feel like we could talk forever and ever and ever. But I think this was a great start to unpacking sidereal, and I'm sure it's going to be so helpful for the listeners. So thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Pisces Moon.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast, the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. This season, creative production is by Emily Lasbury and co-production by George Lasbury. If you'd like to stay connected to what we're up to, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Magic and Mindfulness, and maybe share these episodes with a friend or give us a review or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. This helps us to keep spreading the message and light work that we do. We appreciate every single one of you that tunes in. So stay well, stay safe, and see you soon.